Broadcasting from the number one news network in North America, it's the show for the next generation of Americans. It's Kilmeade and Friends.
I'm Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday.
She was doing something and using private email in the same way that previous secretaries of state have done.
You know that's not true.
According to the policy that she was allowed to.
Nobody says that's true. Nobody.
Other than the private.
Other than the private server is a big deal. What's unprecedented is the president refusing to negotiate.
The president has always been looking for a way to negotiate, find that reasonable middle ground. And frankly, I think your history is wrong.
Mr. Secretary, your history, with all due respect, your history is wrong.
Why are you and Romney losing at this point?
We're going to win this race. Given that, we're going to win this race.
But you're not at this point. You're losing.
Look, we can debate polls.
The president's kids are safe. That
they also face a threat that most children do not face.
Tell that to the people in Newtown.
Do you really think that the president's children are the same kind of target as every school child in America?
I think
that's ridiculous, and you know it's.
Look at what we did in a comprehensive, systematic way to try to protect the country against terror. And you got that little smirk on your face. You think you're so clever. But
America's solutions are discussed here.
Some highlights of Chris Wallace on the 20 years looking back at Fox News Sunday. Chris is coming up shortly, and those were some of the cuts and why everybody watches that show and why it always makes news on Monday. And dare I say, in this 24-hour cycle, Sunday night. And we get to hear it a few times on Fox News Channel, and it's always great. So let's get to the big three and then get to Chris.
Brian's Big Three.
A millennial rant by Alexis Bloomer. She's a young Texas TV journalist. Says everybody talking about the next generation. She's upset at her generation. Calls them lazy, just existing, feeling entitled. Is that indeed true? After all, don't we have this great military? Aren't they made up of mostly millennials? We'll tell you about the survey, too, of 18 to 29-year-olds that shows Alexis might just be right. Next.
Number two.
Ted Cruz tossed a Hail Mary pass. It was caught by Carly Fiorina, but the question is, will it score? He is down by way too much. He's going to need more than a touchdown. But without a score on this possession, I'll continue the analogy, I think he's done, he's finished, he's through before even California, where Carly's from. Ted Cruz doing the unprecedented last night.
Number one.
Call it a Trump-a-thon. Not only was Donald Trump basking in his five-state win, primary win, then he was talking about a foreign policy, and then he welcomed in Bobby Knight as he spends $900,000 on ad time in Indiana. But guess what? He's just getting started. He is actually going for the all-out victory because he knows on March 2nd, next Tuesday, that's what Indiana could provide. And before we go any further, and before we discuss the Trump-a-thon, I'd like to talk about Chris Wallace. Congratulations, Chris.
You know, it was interesting listening to those clips. I must say, whoever did that, is that John again?
No, it's Eric.
Well, that was terrific. I have to say, I'm an argumentative son of a gun, aren't I?
You know what? You just don't take a backward step, and you don't care. What it showed is, doesn't matter if it's Republicans or Democrats.
Well, I'm proudest of that. And in fact, that look, when I had my first conversation with Roger Ailes back in 2003, 13 years ago, and we discussed my coming to Fox, he said, look, I'm not asking you to push an agenda or pull your punches. Just promise me you'll be equally tough on everybody. And I said, well, that's easy for me. And that's been the best 13 years of my career. And I owe it to him and all of my colleagues at Fox. It really has been the joy of my career.
It's not easy, too. It's harder than ever. Meet the Press 20 years ago was a political show, but you're going off a political show with three news networks going 24 hours a day, and you have to be different, and you got to be better.
Well, I agree. It's a lot more crowded. I mean, you think back to Meet the Press back when it started in 1947, it was the only game in town. You wanted to get a senator or a president or whatever. I mean, there was no other place to go. And now, exactly as you point out, you doggone guys on Fox and Friends and Kilmeade and Friends and all of the cable networks and all of the other places in the media landscape, it's crowded. So, one, to get a guest that hasn't spoken for a while, and two, to ask them, have the wit to ask them questions that they haven't answered, is tougher than ever. But that's kind of the fun of it, too.
Well, here's the thing. You live in Washington, and you run into these people even in casual conversations. And not only that, some of them might be your friends. And all of a sudden, they're in the news, or they want to get their message out, and they come on. And you got to ask questions that's going to strain the relationship. And That's never easy, Chris. You make it seem easy, but to me, that's never easy.
Well, it's part of the life in Washington. If you're going to be a reporter, you're a White House correspondent, and you've always got to walk that line between, on the one hand, you want somebody to remain a source, you want them to answer your phone calls. I mean, forget the question about their being a friend. You want to be able to do business with them, but on the other hand, you can't soft pedal it. You've got to be tough. And you know, if they've done something questionable or there's something controversial, you've got to talk about it. You can't pretend it didn't happen. So it's a tough line. And generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, I found if you're fair, if people feel that you're not giving a cheap shot or you're not taking one side versus another, but you're just asking a straight out question about some controversy, some misstatement, whatever that's out there, people respect that and they understand that's what your job is, and that's why they're on your show in the first place. We don't have subpoena power.
Right. But,
so if they come on, they know what's going
to
happen.
But for you, the next family get-together, your dad would walk up to you and say, why'd you give that guy an easy time? So you're answering to, you know, in the back of your head, you must be saying, well, my dad's Mike Wallace. So they must know what they're going to get when they come on anyway.
You know, I actually don't think it's so much that. I just think it's in my DNA.
Yeah.
I think that I'm just one cantankerous SOB. And as you and I know, and we're friends, but we give it to each other on the air and off the air.
Oh, yeah, we have a real relationship. But you know who you are not like that with? And I've seen you a lot with your wife.
Oh, I'm never, scared of her.
I never see you even do anything but treat her deferentially, whether we're hanging out in the green room or on the air.
Now, we're going to talk again about the fact that the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and last year we were at a table, and she was seated next to Tony Romo, and you weren't, and you were jealous of her. You wanted me to throw her out. And I was like, no. Nobody puts Lorraine in the corner. It's like...
No, but you're just saying, hey, Brian, why don't you switch with my wife would have been nice.
Well, really?
That would have been great.
Was I going home with you, or was I going home with Lorraine?
That's right. Forgot about that. So we're going to see each other Saturday, but you could never.
Are you down for this?
Yeah, and you could never stay late because you have a show to do.
I have actually gotten the perfect. I do the perfect White House Correspondents' Dinner. I'm sure people out there are thinking, boy, this is really interesting. So, but in any case, White House Correspondents' Dinner is that big black tie dinner once a year. You know, they say prom for ugly people. And, you know, we go all dress up and a bunch of Hollywood stars crazy enough to come. And it is kind of fun. Actually, I think the most fun is the parties beforehand, because that's where you can go to the ABC party or whatever and you see all the stars that you like. Sofia Vergara, how bad can that be? But then you sit down at the table, and the way the evening works is about 9:30, dinner ends, and the speeches start. And the highlight, of course, is the comedian, but really the highlight is when the president speaks. So at that point, which is sort of the highlight of the evening, Lorraine and I get up, we leave before the speeches start, we go home, we live fairly close by, I get in our jammies, get in bed, turn on C-SPAN, watch the president's speech, and go to bed because I got to be up at 5:15 in the morning.
That's cool. And this week you have a sit-down with Donald Trump. It's his first interview in weeks because he's
on,
been
on
begging.
On a Sunday show.
Yeah, on the Sunday show.
Yeah, he for a few weeks, I don't quite understand this, but the new team decided they should keep him under wraps for Sunday shows. Look, you got Donald Trump. As one of his aides said, it's like American Pharaoh. You just ride him for all he's worth. And so he will be our exclusive guest. If you want to see Donald Trump on Sunday, you won't see him any place but Fox News Sunday. He'll be live. And it should be fascinating because there's a lot to talk about that he has not discussed in the last month on a Sunday show or even much on any show. You know, he had his foreign policy speech this week. We've got the Cruz Kasich deal. We've got the Cruz Fiorina deal, his victory in six states by 50% plus. There's a lot to talk about.
There is, and I was going to go over a couple of those things. Something real quick. In all your years, does the Fiorina, by the second place guy, naming a running mate in the back end of a primary season, I've never seen anything like this, nor did I think it was even possible.
I can think of one time it happened. 1980, he wasn't nearly as far behind, but Ronald Reagan was trailing, and
I think it was 76, right?
You're right. Sorry. Oh, very good. It's 1976. He named Richard Schweikert as his running mate, who was a fairly moderate senator from Pennsylvania. And the reason was because a lot, and we saw it again this week, where there were 71 delegates, but 54 of the 71 are uncommitted. And his feeling was, well, gee, because he was fighting for every delegate, if I can, if I do Schweikert and get some of those uncommitted delegates, maybe I can beat Jerry Ford. So it's happened before. It didn't work then. I have questions whether it's going to work now.
Well, let's switch to his foreign policy speech. I'm talking about Donald Trump, of course. I think for the most part, it's been widely panned. People like Bob Corker said liked it. Newt Gingrich saw a lot of good in it. Ambassador Bolton saw some good in it. But others, like from Charles Krauthammer to Karl Rove, actually Ambassador Khalilzad, who was ambassador to the UN to Afghanistan and Iraq, actually thought he liked it. Most everybody else mocked it. Do you think that's fair?
No, I don't. I mean, look, is he going to replace Henry Kissinger in the lexicon of great American diplomats? No, but it was serious, which is helpful. And it gave you a sense of where he'd take the country. The most interesting thing, and I think part of the criticism is political, when you were talking about people like Krauthammer not liking it and some of the others, it was, by Republican standards, moderate to almost dovish. I mean, the fascinating thing, because he's so against the idea, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but he's so against the idea of this intervention and the feeling that we've gotten too involved in too many other countries at the expense of our country, he's going to be to the left of Hillary Clinton in the general election if he's the nominee. I mean, she's more interventionist, more in the idea that you put U.S. boots on the ground than he is. And I don't. You talk about something being unprecedented. When's the last time a Republican nominee was more to the left than the Democratic nominee?
And it's going to keep guys, all her advisors, political advisors, on her toes, because she's not going to know where she's getting hit from. Personal, that's a guarantee. But when getting hit from, when it comes to policy, left, right, left, right. Mark Halperin tweeted this out. He said, if Bush 43 or Mitt Romney had given this Trump speech as presidential candidates, it would have been hailed as good politics and interesting worldview. Mark Halperin, now on the circus on Showtime, and, you know, he wrote Game Change, hardly a right-wing columnist. I think that's a very fair assessment. I couldn't believe how personal it got and how dismissed it was. I mean, he mispronounced Tanzania, and the White House commented.
I think there is a... that there is a bias, but again, I think to a certain degree that's political. The right wing of the Republican Party and the establishment of the Republican Party, they don't like Donald Trump, and they aren't going to like anything about Donald Trump, whether it's good, whether it deserves to be liked or not to be liked. And I agree with you. I think that there was some dismissal that was condescending and probably ill-placed.
So, Chris.
Sir.
Before I have to let you go, I want to congratulate you.
No, can stay. I can stay for an hour. I got nothing better to do.
But you know this thing called heartbreaks. It's not a heartbreak.
I've never really taken that all that seriously. That's right. When the computer shuts you down, right?
Right. And by the way, let's be honest. You want to show. You've just about had it with me. Anyway.
I thought I would pretend.
Well, I just want to tell you, because I know you need to know all the news or rather hear it from me.
Yes.
After 3 weeks off the best-selling list, I got news yesterday. Thomas Jefferson, The Tripoli Pirates, is number one ebook and number four overall in combined books.
Are you on what list?
New York Times.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
That's sensational.
Yeah.
No, I'm really very, very happy.
Yeah.
And I very much enjoy the fact that this tribute to me and the 20th anniversary and the fact that we have an exclusive interview with Donald Trump.
Right.
In the end, as usual, you've made it all about yourself.
I've ruined it.
No, you haven't. You've just showed your true colors.
Thank you. But listen, seriously, congratulations. You have good news, too.
Do we know that we're at the same table?
No, I don't know. I got someone walked up to me, grabbed my arm. I can't give his name out, and said, "Don't expect a great table." And I thought, what does that mean?
Is that true? Well, do you remember 2 years ago? 2 years in a row, we've been at the table. 2 years ago, last year, we had a good table. The year before, we were literally next to the kitchen door. I mean, we were in a different time zone than the president and the speakers.
We couldn't even sit. You know who sat next to me, though? A woman that we all want as guests, Hawaiian congresswoman, veteran, Democrat, Tulsi Gabbard. In the beginning, I thought, wow, like she kind of know her. Now she went out she's done a lot of things out in front, challenging her party, making some news. So I wish I was nicer to her.
That's the thing with you. It's all transactional. If you think they can do something for you, you're nice to them. And if they're not, like Lorraine, you snub her.
Exactly. Hey, Chris, I enjoyed our time.
Well, that makes one of us. No.
Congratulations. 20 years, baby.
Thank you.
See ya.
Why do you do this? Why do you make me like this?
I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't work. Let's see other people. All right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. 1-866-408-7669. Listen, you heard my big three. Millennials, they're being hard on themselves because they're not participating in our country. They're only on the take. Is that a mischaracterization of the next generation? Ted Cruz's Hail Mary pass to Cole Fiorina. Will it be a touchdown? And Trumpathon, where's he heading in Indiana?
I'm not entirely happy at looking at the New York Times bestseller list, and there's your damn book on the list.
Congratulations to Brian Kilmeade on becoming a New York Times number one best-selling author for Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates. But Brian, don't expect us to treat you any differently. All right, maybe we'll be a little bit nicer.
I'm not especially pleased about that.
You're with Kilmeade and Friends.